The possibility of Samantha Shapiro's rescue dog getting severely sick from COVID is her worst nightmare.
Because she is much older, absolutely. I think she is a lot more susceptible to it.
To ease the fear, she wants her staffy vaccinated.
I would feel like so helpless and so defenseless knowing that possibly there was something that possibly could have saved her.
Would you vaccinate your pet?
Absolutely, why not?
I absolutely would.
Oh, yikes. Oh, Savannah, Savannah, just when you thought the world couldn't get weirder, couldn't get crazier, we are in the moment where we are now talking about vaccinating our pets against the dangers of COVID.
Elijah, cancel 2022. 2022 is canceled. I don't want to do it anymore. We're what? 18 days in. I'm done. 19 days in. No more. No more.
I gotta laugh because this is the new trope that's being pushed around, that animals are the next victims of Omicron, also mm-hmm. known as the common cold. If you can go to my screen here, Disclose.tv actually just put out a statement from Hong Kong that Hong Kong orders pet stores selling hamsters, Gus, may he rest in peace, to cease operations after several rodents tested positive for COVID. 2,000 small mammals to be culled. Does that mean, I think that means they're killing the animals.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, for maybe our podcast listeners who are not seeing the picture of this innocent furry rodent, we're now just brutally murdering animals for no reason. Cool. Okay.
Oh, man.
Got it.
It's so crazy. And it also says that the hamster owners were instructed to quarantine. Hamsters can get you sick. I always knew Gus was a little bastard. I knew he was up to no good. I knew it.
Never trust a hamster. Never trust a hamster.
Yeah, it's gotten to a point, ladies and gentlemen, where there's not much else to say. I do want to say I did lose my prescription to clown pills last week. Luckily for me, I stepped on a used needle while I was walking through the streets of Dallas, which happened to be filled with clownalism or whatever the liquid version of the clown pill is. So I got re-injected. I'm laughing again. We're having a great show. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have 8K graphics, confetti of color. It's just such a high quality production in the biggest studio in America. And it's just, you know, the fame, the money, and the just the prestige that comes with hosting such a respectable show is really getting to me and Savannah's heads. Isn't that right?
So true. I mean, I don't know if people have noticed, but we've started dressing up on this show because, you know, we're really getting up there in the charts. So watch out, guys. Watch out.
I know. It's a lot to handle. But you guys, obviously, as you've grown with us, the SOB, as you know, we've been having a lot of fun. You can always follow us on all social media. You can also download the audio only podcast version of this show. And at the end of the show, we always read a couple of the reviews. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's so helpful. And we love to talk about it. So we've got some crazy things that we're going to discuss today. I mean, when I'm looking at this, obviously we have some new pronouns we got to introduce to you guys,
obviously,
called queens and queen self. Mm-hmm. We're also finding that people are possessed by demons, and that's where we're getting multiple personality disorder. We also have a man that has now reached the new record, put on 58 masks for their health.
Nice. I'm really glad that we're progressing as a society.
We have abortion fetuses on skewers being sold to roast. I'm laughing because, yeah, and also we have now done one thing that I'm really happy about. We have designated white women as being a national security threat. And before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys that the world is going crazy. You never know where to invest your money. Crypto's always out of control, and you never know when it's going to go up or down. The dollar is basically just worthless. I know over here we're celebrating how much we don't have, our money's not worth anything. I'm sure you are too. And so you're finding, like, where do you invest your money? So the thing is, I got to talk to you about Birch Gold. So when you invest in hard gold, when you invest in precious metals, this is something that just lasts the test of time and is a great way to diversify your portfolio. And Birch Gold right now, thanks to a little known section of the IRS tax code, you can legally move your IRA or 401k into precious metals with no tax implications or penalties. We don't like the government. We don't like taxes. So when you can invest without that, it's amazing. If you want to get started on protecting your savings with gold in a tax-sheltered account, request a free info kit from Birch Gold by texting the word OFFENSIVE, that's OFFENSIVE, to 989-898. That's OFFENSIVE to 989-898. This comprehensive 20-page kit reveals how gold and silver can protect your savings and how you can move your IRA or 401k out of the volatile stock market, which I think might crash this year. I don't know. I'm not an expert in finance, but it can move you into bonds and precious metals IRA. There's zero cost, zero obligation to request this info. So why wait? Text OFFENSIVE to the number 989-898. Again, request this free info kit on gold now by texting OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE, to 989-898. So now hamsters are partially our enemy. Mm-hmm. Oh, where have we become?
You know,
where have we come from, I should say?
If you walk into your local PetSmart, just do us all a service and just stab all the hamsters.
Yeah.
Brutally murder them.
2,000 new victims of the COVID virus, which is going to continue forever. Because mm-hmm. I want to remind you, the World Health Organization said that we will end COVID when we end inequity, or perhaps when people start using guillotines again to bring judgment upon the leaders, which we're not condoning. Just saying that one of those guillotines is in our museum. Do you know that we have a real guillotine from the French Revolution in our museum here that has killed like thousands of people, and it's here still?
Yeah, you know, every single time I do a bad job on this show, Elijah actually puts me in the guillotine and threatens to
People don't know that that blade is thick. It's not like a thin, it's not like scissors. It's like, it's like literally that thick, and it's pretty dull. So I don't know about you, but I would rather have my execution be a little more exciting and a little less dull. That was a good joke. That was really good. That's the kind of humor you get here.
B level. We move from C to B level. Yeah.
So, Savannah,
yes,
we're not just talking about COVID, but I do want to bring up some insane things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know that, you know, COVID is the most deadly virus in the world ever.
I wake up every day and I cry because I realize that I have to go outside of mm-hmm. my home and it could be there.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally understand. It's actually helped my marriage, because whenever I think, you know, I'm mad at my wife, I'm reminded that there's a virus out there every day seeking to kill me, not just me, but my dog.
Brutally.
And my hamsters. I wonder if Gus died from COVID. It's untested, unconfirmed.
He rest in peace.
But he is, I want to remind you guys, he did die. He lived a good life. they've been trying to prove to us that this is not a cult, right? This is not a cult. This is genuine science. And they've done a really good job by proving to us that there's no idol worship and that this is not a religion, by literally making an idol thanking the nurses in the world with a very tasteless statue. If we can bring this up, a nurse statue has been unveiled. I think it's in Latvia. Yeah, in Riga, Latvia. Those Rigas, huh? Yeah. Why is she medically obese, too? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's a body positivity thing, because you have to remember, Elijah, that in the modern day, that the healthiest body type are those that are obese. So please understand.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, the people that worship this. I've been on Twitter comments a lot recently, and I've been so shocked to see how many people still believe we're in a pandemic. It's kind of crazy. And they're genuinely afraid, like making justification. This woman, read her whole justification of why we should mask babies, and that even if you
straight out the womb.
Yeah. And she was saying about how, like, because at home they can still read mouths at home, and then you wouldn't want to take your baby anywhere either. And I also read another thread too, I don't think we even have it in here, of a woman who, like, all these women I keep finding that are talking about how it's hard to date because they both are equally afraid of this being their last time on earth. They're risking going to a restaurant and meeting a person to die from the COVID molecules being spit in their mouth. But also the comment saying that's not very sensitive to think about you being killed by their molecules. What if you're going to kill them? We're here. Like, this is what's going on in the country and around the world. And people have gone so crazy, and we're erecting statues of nurses, fat, chubby nurses too. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, that is a thick erection right there of this nurse.
An erect nurse.
Yeah, that is a nice, beautiful statue of who we should definitely be idolizing in society today. Obese nurses with 10 face masks on and scrubs. Until everybody is in a full bubble suit, America can never be free again. Please remember that every single time you breathe raw air, you are putting us all at risk. So remember to wear your face condom, so that way you do not impregnate somebody else with your COVID particles. Thank you.
That's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, in case you were wondering about whether or not this is a reality, yeah. I don't know if this is a prank, this next video, but that's what it's come down to in society, is I'm not sure what's real anymore. Besides the entire history and the banking system and those yeah. kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like when I watch videos, I can't tell if I'm being trolled or if this is a real person, because the line between fiction and reality has become so blurred recently. I mean, in the last year or so, mm-hmm. that it's hard to tell the difference. I used to be good at this. And people tell me all the time, like, oh, dude, you played a troll video. And I'm like, to be honest, man, it's no different than the other 16 videos in the show. So I don't feel stupid, because I literally can't recognize when it's a joke.
Yeah, it's like those Twitter accounts that have popped up that are like, yeah, I'm a she, her, gender neuroqueer who advocates for, you know, rights for crabs. And you're just like, is this real or fake? I don't know, because in the modern day, there are people who actually advocate for that. So we really can't judge. We really can't.
No, we can't. And so this, mm-hmm. if you can put this on screen, apparently this man was putting on 58 masks.
Not really 58. Sometimes
masks.
I just, yeah.
I know. But he's putting on, like, I guess he has one of those, I love the double strapped ones.
Yeah.
Those are the double strap ons. Those are the ones that I like to get pegged. Mm-hmm. The amount of masks this gentleman is putting on, it makes me think it is fake simply because he's putting them on the plane. But
like, what Fed went to the airport and put on like 10 masks straight just to try to pretend that this was reality?
How many is that? Was what, like 7?
Yeah, it may be 58. It may be 7. We really can't tell in the modern day.
You know, my dad sent me, he's actually nice. He texted me. He's like, I sent you a Signal, because mm-hmm. he knows that I don't talk on like non-encrypted apps anymore.
Of course.
And I don't like to, unless like just work stuff. Like we're just like scheduling things. I don't
when
like.
It's just like you sending me like a fat people twerking at 2 a.m.
Yeah. But anything personal, yeah. I can't text anymore because of the feds.
Right.
And the thing is like, and he like basically texted me this whole like, hey, like I know. Like if you know, like I was in Greenville, at my friend's house. Now Greenville, South Carolina, beautiful place. It was snowing. The plane got delayed. I'm happy I'm here. On a sad note, that's also where my mom got all of her experimental cancer treatments. And it was really her last place that she was able to enjoy the, nature and be out in public. So it just wasn't the happiest, like it was a really great weekend. And I was really grateful for our president bringing me out there, but also like being in the last place your mom said she enjoyed before she died.
It evokes some emotions.
It could, if I had any left to give, if I had any.
Yeah, if your clown pill prescription wasn't up and you still had
if I was still a human
of reality.
Yeah, and it's funny because my dad's like, I signaled you. And it was like a very nice message of just like encouraging me to like, you know, make healthy choices and to like kind of seeing the world is kind of getting me down. But also, who's not getting down sometimes? Like it's a constant battle to stay sane right now. Like because it really is a lot. And people know this, to process the level of stupidity in the world, and not because it exists, but because it's being forced upon us and reinvented as our culture, as we are being replaced in our own nation, not just by, you know, the native population of the people, but also with like things and institutions of Western culture, like logic and understanding. And we are in a mental asylum.
I'm sorry, Elijah. Are you telling me that when you go grocery shopping, you're not ready to show your papers and you're not putting 58 face masks on every day? Is that what you're telling me right now?
No, I'm just wearing 58 face masks.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that you were taking the proper precautions. You know, I know the CDC kind of updates those every single day, mm-hmm. but please, at least 58 feet of social distancing, and also 10 to 28 booster shots, just in case.
No, really, truly, though, but it does come down to that, because a lot of you guys feel crazy, and I get it, right? Because it's like, it is a constant spiritual fight to keep your soul from being penetrated by the dark forces in the world. And, you know, it's like Teen Vogue. This is from Drew Hernandez, mm-hmm. an excellent journalist, had posted a screenshot here. Teen Vogue was putting a quote. Teen Vogue, which speaking of, you know, my mom's cancer, this is also a deadly disease that could kill you. It spreads rapidly. Teen Vogue is a cesspit. It is literally a clogged colon of publications, just full of shit. and disgusting and somewhat something you don't want to expose yourself to.
But and directed towards teenagers, the most malleable among us. Beautiful.
Yeah, they're like, it just feels like I have to spend this money in order to live my life and in order to survive. And there's a picture for the blind viewers of Binax Now. COVID-19 antigen self-test kit.
And Elijah, can
easy,
I just,
fast, two tests.
Can I just say too, as soon as you sent this to me, I immediately thought that this was like a COVID test for only like non-binary people because you always send me the craziest stuff. So as soon as I saw Binax, I was like, are they making COVID tests based on your pronouns now? Is that what I'm seeing?
Diagnose COVID and figure out your sexuality. It's two tests. First test is the antigen and the sex of sexuality. Oh, mom, it says I'm non-binary. I guess I have to follow the test.
Based on this test, I identify as a fish today, so please respect this.
Don't identify as a hamster. This is a dangerous time in life to be a gerbil.
It'll be a double death, my guy.
You know, I'm just going to say this. You know, being a hamster has never been easy. There's always been hawks and owners who forget to feed you, Kezia, and you know,
suicide missions, jumping off of couches, yeah,
abandonment. I did not abandon Gus in a fish tank in front of Savannah's door when I moved away.
But the good note on that is that he actually went to my little brother, who's also named Elijah, so he didn't really know the difference because Elijah was still taking care of him,
just a little more tanned. it's always been dangerous, but if you're a teenager, it is even more dangerous being a hamster. It's like so funny because it's like, at-home COVID tests are a massive expense. You don't need to take them. Like, even if you get sick, do you know this? You don't need to get tested for COVID. Stop getting tested for COVID. You don't need to. Number one, it just adds to the bullshit of the cases of like, oh, well, the cases are rising. The cases are only rising because you're taking all these false positive tests that are showing that you actually are infected when in many cases, studies are recently showing is not always the case. Now, they're not always inaccurate. I've worked with instant tests. I've also worked in PCRs myself. I've conducted PCRs, I understand. But these rapid antigen tests, you know, and showing you that you're positive, would you trust this to find out if you had AIDS, right? So if this is a deadly disease, are you going to take an at-home test kit and be like, well, I guess I just have AIDS, so I'm going to begin treatment? No. If this is a serious disease, you're not going to Teen Vogue, right? If you have AIDS, you're like, well, I got my medical advice from Teen Vogue and took an at-home test, so I guess I've got the deadly, you know, COVIDs. No, you would go to a doctor, you'd get a proper blood test, you would check yourself, and you would make sure that you're not dying from a deadly disease. But if it's not a deadly disease, then maybe an at-home kit is fine. And this is a disease so dangerous that you have to have a test before you realize that you have it. Isn't that crazy, Savannah? It is. It's always shocked me.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if you've seen this, Elijah, but here in Texas, I keep seeing these very long lines of cars who are lining up for their COVID tests, right? And it's just baffling to me that starting year three, people are still lining up to see whether or not they're sick. They don't have any symptoms. They're just living their normal life. But they're like, you know, the government told me that I have to do this, so now I'm going to do it so I can go to work and live my normal life. Ah, the modern day.
Well, like, what's crazy is, like, that's why even here at work, they were, like, asking me. They're being, like, kind because I was sick. Like, do you have COVID? It's like, I'm not getting tested. It's like, well, you need to get tested. No, I'm not. I refuse to test for COVID. Like, if I'm dying, because what's the point? Okay, so you test positive for COVID. Yeah. They're not even going to give you the drugs that could treat it. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Well, exactly. I tested positive for COVID too, and it's actually.
I thought you were going to say AIDS. I was going to say, oh.
Not yet. No. No, so I tested positive for COVID because the company told me the same thing. And it's like, I knew that I had COVID. I had all the symptoms. I knew I had it. But, and think about this too. It's like you have to go get tested to work to see if you have COVID. And we're saying that if you have COVID and you're COVID positive, then you're going to expose more people to it. So if you knowingly have it, why do you need to go get tested to say positively you have it? You're just spreading it more. Like, what is that logic?
Yeah, I think too, I want to see if I have this here in the, oh yeah, this is the tweet that I was mentioning earlier. I knew we had it.
What is the tweet?
Okay, so this is one of my favorite places is going into verified sides of Twitter. I know on Friday's show, we have Andrew Torba from gab.com. And I was laughing with him because I was like, one of the only reasons I stay on Twitter other than to cause problems for the world, which is always one of my favorite things to do, is to find insane people.
Right.
And there's not as many insane people on Gab. And so it's harder for me to find crazy stuff for the show. And Twitter is just a bastion of insanity. I want to see who this is before you go to my screen. Okay, this is a writer, director, producer. Okay. Makes a lot of sense, and they're holding an award. So Amy Aniobi, says, my new self-inquiry before I consider meeting anyone in person is this how I want to catch COVID? Now think about that.
Yeah.
Like my, so first of all, self-inquiries before I consider meeting anyone. I didn't never had that. Maybe that's why I've had so many problems in my life. I never like, I'm going to meet a new person. Here's my number one question I ask. I think it's more like, can I trust person? Like I try to look if I can trust them. That's my number one thing of like,
yeah.
Cause people lie about you. They lie about me. They lie about a lot of people, mm-hmm. especially, you know, if you run a show or something, you guys know everyone starts crap. Even in high school, it just doesn't stop. Politics is like drama for ugly people, but it's like, this is somebody's life. This is mass formation psychosis. This is a literal, this person has been tricked into revolving their entire social interaction around whether or not they catch a cold.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. This is a human being.
You know, earlier in the show, you were talking about how so difficult it is for women in the modern day because they have to, just like this woman said, decide if they want to catch COVID and potentially murder themselves by going on a date in 2022. It's just, it's a very difficult climate to live in, truly.
Yeah, no, it is. It is so freaking bizarre.
Like, Elijah, how do you wake up every day and walk into work knowing that I could murder you? Is it hard for you?
You know, it's just, well, like, but the comments. She's like, so sorry if I say no to most of you hoes. And then it's like, it's fine. Just get vaccinated. Listen to this. Oh, I love a Luke Rudkowski's. And they're like, you know, living in a constant state of fear is also not good for you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but some of the comments are just like.
But don't you also love how in California it's legal to unknowingly give somebody AIDS? But for some reason, you can just.
What's like, happening here?
COVID is at the forefront of everyone's mind. Like, that's the biggest fear.
Well, like, look, here's Jennifer Oldfield. That's like, personally speaking, also things like, how dumb will I feel that I held out for 2 years before finally catching it at a nail salon, bad movie, subpar Mexican restaurant. And then, like, Don K comes in. This is so fun for me. It's like, Don K in the chat. Support for Don. I don't know whose team I'm on yet. It's like, well, good news for me, I guess, that I avoided it for 2 years and have no idea how I got it. I mean, I probably got it from my son who may have gotten it at the gym. Yeah, make sure your son doesn't go to the gym.
Don't go to the gym.
Don't go to the gym.
That so would bad be for bad. Your health. So bad.
Hope you feel okay. Jennifer is back in the chat, by the way. I'm fully expecting that too, but my four-year-old is 9 days from his vax. So,
Hanging on for that. What a good mom. Like, she's still exposing herself to her own son who has like almost a 0% mortality rate.
It doesn't stop you from contracting the virus or spreading it. The CDC says that. It's like, what do you think is going on here, lady? What do you think is happening? It doesn't stop it from spreading. And by the way, you know what's so crazy? You know what's so funny? I was reading some publication where it's like, this guy had 103 degree fever and almost died. And they said he didn't die because he was vaccinated. Here's the slippery slope. Getting vaccinated prevents severe symptoms. If you get severe symptoms, it prevents death. If you die, your death would have been much worse if you weren't vaccinated. You've seen the articles that say that. Like, the death would have been worse.
Yes.
It's like, okay, so what is it? Huh? Because on one hand, you come out and you just go, oh, yeah, you know, it's really crazy because the vaccination, you know, oh, wait, this is actually even before this. You know, for most people, this is before the vaccination started.
Yeah.
For most people, the symptoms are so mild, you don't know you have it. For most people. So there's secret spreaders. And you couldn't say that there wasn't secret spreading, right? Or like asymptomatic spreading. So everyone's like asymptomatic and it's mild for most people. Mm-hmm. And the CDC comes out and says, yeah, like most of the people that have died have four more comorbidities and are old and would have died soon anyways. And we're not seeing this huge fluctuation in excess deaths. And then they're like, oh, if you get the vaccine, it'll prevent you from spreading it and it'll save you from dying. And then it's like, it goes down. It's from 100% effective to 98% effective to 90% effective to 78% effective. And it keeps going down. And then it's like, oh, you do carry similar viral loads as the unvaccinated. And then, oh, you can spread it. And oh, but hey, but here was the key one, but it prevents you from dying. You don't get severe symptoms, but if you do get severe symptoms, that prevented you still from dying. And if you do happen to die, your death would have been worse without it. Mm-hmm. So what is it doing and why do we have mandates? Oh, maybe because it's a global police state and it has nothing to do about your health. It has nothing to do about your health.
Like, look, you might have died, but your death could have been more severe. We don't know what's more severe than death, but it could have been. So
Yeah, and obviously, when you're talking about this stuff, I'm just following the CDC, by the way. But obviously, if you're trying to, you know, communicate, you know that the internet is not a safe place to discuss things, to talk. And that's why you've got to make sure that you actually secure your email when you're talking about things that matter with a server that actually hides and encrypts your data and keeps it private. More private than Hillary Clinton's emails, which we found out about, but ended up getting destroyed, which is why I use StartMail. You've got to start securing your email privacy with StartMail today. The key thing about StartMail is, number one, unlike these big tech companies like Google or Gmail that basically sell your data, use your privacy against you, StartMail actually encrypts your data and makes it impossible for people to sell or use your information against you or to spy on you, which is absolutely amazing. Number two, when you delete an email, it's done forever. It doesn't go into your drafts and onto some server in Apple, and then they end up keeping it and hand it over to the FBI when things happen in the future. StartMail actually protects you long-term. And if you sign up today, you'll get 50% off your first year. If you go to startmail.com/offensive, that's startmail with a T, startmail.com/offensive, you get 50% off your first year. And it's really a great way to start taking the encryption data. Like, I use Telegram for some of my social media. I use Signal for my personal chats, StartMail for my email. And then, of course, I use gab.com for a lot of my open statements. And you can too. But right now, if you go to startmail.com/offensive, get 50% off your first year and start encrypting your messages today. Be safe. Go all the way. It's like a condom, but for your information online. It really is true. More effective and more safe, and it doesn't have a fail rate. So check it out, startmail.com/offensive. Anyway, speaking of crazy things, apparently things don't make sense, not only to us, but to the people enforcing them. Delta, the airline company, was hassling a young man. Now, I'm really happy to say, like, I found this video on TikTok, and I wrote in the comments, I'm like, I'm going to blow this up. It did go pretty far on Twitter, and we're going to keep trying to blow this up as well. This guy was being hassled for wearing his mask. Now, you guys know I wear my fake mask worldwide masks. They're not even in this show, but I love them. Fakemaskworldwide.com. Amazing. Use promo code TheBlaze. It's not even an ad that they're paying for. I just really like to support the company. But for the most part, I just take my mask off on the plane and, like, drink a drink, and it's like, whatever, you know? And that's, like, the one place that you can get me to actually put something on, just to get through TSA for a second and to board the plane. And then the mask just comes off. Some of you guys don't agree with that, it's fine. I've outweighed the benefits for myself, and it's bullshit, and I don't like it. But, you know, I saw the lady, she was like yelling at someone. She's like, you need to put the mask on in between bites. And I just get a window seat and face the window and take my mask off so I don't have to get hassled by them. As you've seen, Savannah, they always target me first, and it's annoying. Fly Delta, though, because Delta's been the worst with COVID policies of all airlines, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because they're the nicest airline. That's kind of sad for flight travel. But this gentleman was being hassled by a Delta employee who at least admitted the unthinkable. Let's go ahead and let's watch this.
I'm just drinking my water, dude.
Okay.
Like this right here, okay, I can have this off
right
in order
now,
to drink water.
Right now. I just said that, but I want to know because my crew members asked me twice. Now you're not drinking, you're holding it in your hands, so your mask should be
well,
back on.
Well, don't you have to put it down so you can take a sip and then take another sip?
Okay, we're not going to get into it. Because the mask goes on.
If I were to take this off right here, right?
There you go.
And then every single time I take a sip to put it back
you
on.
You got it, right there. That's how it works.
It doesn't work because my hand's not free.
Okay, so then put your phone in your lap and then you can put your mask up.
It
it's really not that hard.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm drinking water.
It doesn't
water.
Have to make sense.
Say that again?
That's the policy.
It doesn't have to make sense.
That's the policy. So if you don't like the policy, we have the door right up there and it's still open and the gentleman's right there waiting. So if it's going to be an issue, then we're just going to have
to leave. The policy of not being allowed to drink water on a plane.
Okay, it has...
Yeah, so that's the new one, that you have to put your mask up and down in between sips.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because he's making a point. He's following this lost art called logic. And now you know why an enlightenment happened. Even though the enlightenment was kind of gay, for the most part, there were some benefits about it. I'm still getting enlightenment pilled. I'm on that one. I'm kind of realizing a lot of it was just weird. But the point is this Delta employee is saying what we've all heard. It's like, okay, it doesn't have to make sense. It's a policy. There's not logic behind it. It doesn't. Masks on plane don't even make sense. The CEOs of two of the major airlines, I think it was United and Southwest, I could be wrong, were on record testifying before Congress, we've mentioned on the show, telling the Congress that there's not really a medical or scientific explanation for why people would wear masks on a plane, mm-hmm. because of the HEPA
air
filtration system basically makes it's more it's more, the air is cleaner than in a hospital even. The filtration is and the air pressure is so regulated that it's like, that's why people don't usually get sick on planes anyways. They get sick in airports or different crowded places, but planes just have that benefit of the doubt, right? Because they have such a powerful air filtration system, or we would all die technically.
Right.
But of course, that's why Biden has always been so big on enforcing masks on planes. Remember all of 2020 in the height when everyone was shut down, we weren't wearing masks on planes. We were just chilling.
Yeah, remember the Super Bowl happened in February of 2020 and there was what, like hundreds of thousands of people all in that stadium and nobody was worried about it at all until Dr. Fauci and the CDC decided to make it a big issue and the media decided to drum up the fear around it.
Yeah, well, I remember this too. Let me see. I gotta find this article.
And can I just say this too, Elijah, while we watch this video, because again, this is something that we typically see on flights, but like you were talking about, every single time you and I go on a flight together, I won't wear my face mask the entire time. But as soon as you do it, as soon as somebody like the gentleman in this video who is white does it, they seem to get targeted. And that's something that I do want to point out because I think it's important. Why is it that there's this like caste system in society where certain people are exempt from this and other people are not?
I know. Remember this, though? Last year, we found out your politics depend on how much you can spread COVID. Research determined that the protests, aka the deadly riots, did not cause a spike in coronavirus cases. As a reminder, this is from Forbes. There's many articles like this, in fact, that so you can get in a mass group of people, tens of thousands, perhaps even up to 100,000 people in the most intense close quarters being, you know, pushed up like a Travis Scott fever dream. And that doesn't spread COVID, but being in a plane with an air filtration system does. And what's crazy is that most of these masks that people are wearing, when you read the recent study from Twitter, which I have to be careful about, it says, you know, fact checkers say that masks do prevent the spread of COVID. Now, there's no studies cited that show any correlation between areas with mask mandates and not mask mandates actually having lower COVID transmission. So those studies don't exist. But the fact checkers just say that it does because they showed studies that it keeps spit from moving. Even though the numbers don't match and the numbers don't support it, don't believe the numbers. Believe what we say on Twitter. And it is fascinating, though, that with this kind of stuff, the guy's like, look, it doesn't have to make sense. I have a policy and I have to enforce it. Why are you going to enforce things that don't make sense? You know, you could just not enforce it. Just be like, okay, dude, like you could just stop. But people have gone so crazy that they've stopped thinking. They've stopped processing. They've stopped, I don't know, not even just using logic. They've stopped being human. And it is just so insane that like the guy ended up getting kicked off the plane, by the way, and I think he might have gotten banned from Delta for trying to drink water. Drinking water caused someone to not be able to fly.
And can I just say this too, Elijah, because we all know that the voting rights legislation has been at the forefront of the Biden administration, right? And one of the arguments that they made is that you can't pass out water to people in line, and that is a blockade to people who are trying to vote. But if you were a fourth grader in school, you can't drink water without your face mask on. You have to go outside. Or if you're on an airplane, you can't drink water because of your face mask. Somebody explain to me how that makes sense.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and it does come down to the interesting thing that their policies don't follow a line of logic. And you're supposed to feel like you're crazy for questioning the narrative that is clearly debunked. It's interesting. You know, I'm going to make some people mad here, Savannah, that it's like when you go study science and you realize how much of it's just made up and like isn't legitimate, it's like people think that, oh, trust doctors. Do you know that like most of like, if you're talking about like allopathic medicine, you know, or talking about like some sort of like an MD type of thing, you know, medical school, it is interesting the way that it causes, it teaches treatments and whatnot. I have a lot of physicians that are friends, obviously, like I dropped out of school to do this.
Also,
and I understand that
the term doctor as well, like we saw with the whole like Joe Rogan thing, the term doctor can be so widely used for anybody,
right?
At this
well that's
point.
What I'm saying,
yeah,
it, you know, when you have a rudimentary understanding of the body and of, of communicable diseases and of virology and these things, like I'm not an expert on virus, I'm not an expert on anything scientific at all. I mean, I've taken some very difficult courses, I've done extremely well in my studies, I've done a lot of extra you know, class work. I've worked as a researcher. I've been quite familiar with, you know, regenerative science and with the specifically, you know, the molecular level of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I've never have to like really prove that to anyone. I just kind of do understand it. And I can tell you that like the definitive way that science has been presented recently is doing a great disservice to people wanting to become scientists or nurses, et cetera. And it really will discourage people from respecting it. Like I used to feel like when I would put on a white lab coat and I would get in there and I'd perform surgery on axolotls and amputate their limbs and fuse them to like their back and weird things. I just don't understand why a lot of it was weird, but
when we over here like, wait, what?
Well, just like growing limbs out of sides of their bodies. It's just an interesting thing. And like, you know, when you're splicing, you know, like when you're splicing vectors and you're creating new systems, you're delivering them to modify the immune system, different things like that. You know, you really get this respect for God. Like it really did. I'm like, wow, God is so crazy because I can't build this, but I can modify and manipulate to understand it. And I really respected science. Like I felt proud of myself. Like I'd put on the coat and a mask. Yeah, that's crazy, huh? I put on masks and stuff because there is reasons to wear masks, not on planes, but there are reasons. Right? I'm not against masking. I'm against masking for unnecessary reasons. When I was done with my job, I would take my mask off, and I understood thoroughly why I had to wear them in certain situations. Mm-hmm. But with the rudimentary understanding I have of science and the discipline specifically of biology and like organic chemistry and things. It's so sad to me because it's like there was a time when like it mattered. Like I'm like, yeah, I do have scientific knowledge. I can explain this to you. But nobody really cares about the truth in science anymore. And we've really abandoned logic to the point that it breaks my heart because, you know, it's almost like I almost laugh at myself for almost wanting to go into this field because the regime has controlled so much of the institution of science that it's like, you know, you have to accept the tenets of macro evolution, even though it's so widely debunkable and it's, I mean, even in its current state, there's it's such a flawed theory and people accept it as truth. And I always tell people like, if every major scientist is pretty much lying today and everybody who sees the truth is being censored and covered, do you not think this has been happening for a lot longer than just today? It really has. I've always seen that. And I've always been laughed at for not believing in a macrocosmic, you know, transspeciation evolutionary theory. I really have people mock me all the time. You know, you idiot, you Christian, you Bible thumper. And I'm like, my understanding of against evolution is not predicated simply on my belief in God. You know, I've doubted the theory of evolution since when I first heard it because it didn't make any sense to anabolize and have this sort of, you know, complexity coming from a lack of complexity and this building of a species from another and this uptick in evolution. It doesn't make sense because it's not observable and it never has made sense to me. So I've always, you know, thoroughly looked into it. And I think it's funny now. I feel like I'm getting some vindication though, because it's like, now do you see that scientists come together and lie and create theories that are just untrue and ignore the facts and then ignore any, they throw out any study that doesn't agree with them. And so they create this whole theory of this understanding like of COVID that tells you that, yeah, COVID's real. Look at all our studies. With all they ignore, you know, thousands of studies that show that they're wrong. That's happening in most other areas of science today, including with our food and our diet, including with medications, even with just modern medicine and the way we treat long-term diseases, right? Rather than solving the root cause, that our food is literally killing us, that our water is poisoning us. I mean, it's really crazy to see how science has sort of become an industry and a regime arm that works against the people and not for us, when God intended the discipline and the curiosity of many, many like-minded people. It was meant to make our worlds better. And the many of the most fundamental and basic scientists, including the scientists who created the taxonomic system, like literally taxonomy and the way that we actually understand things, like those people were all Christians and believed in God and really understood and developed their theories from an understanding that God was a God of order. And today science is just like a one giant scam that's meant to screw us over rather than help us. And that's why it breaks my heart, because it's like one thing that God created for good, the enemy meant for evil. And now science is a joke.
And honestly, I hate to throw our listeners down this rabbit hole as well, but if this is modern day science, what happened to history throughout the years? If we can't even trust science in the modern day, if we're all watching the rewriting of history right now, can we even trust history where we've seen it and where it's led to in the modern day?
Right. And like, I'm gonna find this actually. I think I have a very important thing to point out. Oh yeah, here it is, from Lauren Southern, Really love Lauren Southern a lot. Good friend of the show. Amazing woman. You should follow her. She pointed this out, if you can check this out. So we had this public health order. I think it was from British Columbia that was saying that you can't have indoor organized gatherings of any size. Bars and nightclubs are closed. Gyms and fitness centers are closed. Dance studios are closed. Sports tournaments canceled. Seats events reduced to 50% capacity, regardless of venue size, with vaccination checking and masking. Maximum 6 per table. Very, very... police state-like, right? Like pseudo-neo-fascist. She pointed this out. Check this out. Lauren Southern. Restrictions closing bars and gyms in British Columbia were set to expire tomorrow, January 18th. Shockingly sarcasm, the government has quietly edited their website to say the order is now indefinite until they say otherwise, meaning your liberties have been taken voluntarily for a time and they'll never be given back. And I promise you that the only way to take them back will be through force in Canada. And there's full-blown fascism going on, and not the kind of like sort of like authoritarianism that some of you guys might think would be good for our country, which I'm not a fan of. I'm sorry. I know that's where I disagree with the right wing. Like, I'm pretty hardline right wing, but the authoritarian regime thing that a lot of people are behind, I don't support that, honestly, because I think it could quickly be used against you. I also am not for these liberal democracies, right? I would love to see a just republic of authority once rise again. But it's like all of a sudden, you know, you just go, well, I'm giving something up for a moment. No, it's gone forever. Like, meaning you now don't have rights. Like, think about how dystopian that is. Like, you can't go to the gym. You can't exercise because you're not vaccinated. And also, like, in general, like, it's not even if you're vaccinated. It's just like you can't go to the gym. You can't exercise for your health. Mm-hmm. You cannot exercise for your safety.
And what I want a lot of people to understand too, Elijah, is that once you give up your rights and freedoms, like you just said, it's not something that you can decide the next day, I want this back. No, bloodshed is often tied to taking your rights and freedoms back, and that's an unpopular thing to say. But in reality, and I want people to really understand this, that once you say, okay, I'll give this up, I'll give that up, you're not going to be able to take that back very easily. It's going to take a lot. Mass resistance, civil disobedience to take that back. So understand truly in the modern day what you are doing by saying, okay, I won't go to the gym, even though we're 3 years into this.
It's true. And if you take it off the screen for a second, it's like the world really has come into a very interesting place. I know this is not real, by the way, but I will give a little bit of a warning. And I do want to let YouTube know this is not real. This is a prop, okay, from Etsy, so that they understand I'm not showing violence or gore. But I do think it's important. Kangmin Lee, who is a individual, he's going to be on our show, I think, in like a couple weeks. He's a Korean American. We love our Koreans, don't we? We really do. They're really nice people. He said, someone is selling a skewer with aborted babies on Etsy. The moral depravity in this country knows no bounds. God have mercy on this wicked generation. And what they've created is a baby Q skewer, fetus street food model, rubber baby food art piece. I understand it could even be like for Halloween. You could make some arguments. I'm not calling for the censorship of this. I'm just saying, like, you got to be a sick, twisted person to even invent this. And it's like, it's so bizarre that this exists, that it's just like, and they, you know what's weirder is look how many sales they have. They have a rating, 2,461 sales. It is alerting, but you understand that this stuff does happen because of the mental illness that has greatly depraved us. Now, what's weird is sometimes in the show, I forget you guys don't watch all of them. Because it's twice a week, there's a good amount of you guys that watch every episode, and I respect that. I thank you for that, because we do kind of all just track together in our thought process as we go through this. But it's like, you do hear the insanity. Like, for instance, this one woman now has a new pronoun called queens and queen self, meaning we've left the corridor of reality, and we're now using, I don't know what this is, filters to create our identity. Let's listen to this.
My pronouns are queen, queens, and queen's self. And even though I'm an upper class white person, I identify as oppressed in any way that I can.
Okay, all right, there's a lot going on there. A lot of piercings that shouldn't exist. Maybe this video shouldn't exist. And it could be a joke. It could be a troll. The point is, though, is it's not really a joke and a troll, because it's there. And it's gotten to the point of that, to where it's just literally insanity. And I also, too, it's like, you know, because of this, we're now accepting mental illness as a normal part of society. We used to have something called multiple personality disorder, which I believe is demonic. I believe that there's the legion, I am many. There's sort of a possession going on in people that's spreading this stuff. A lot of you guys are not Christian, and you, oh, stop with the God stuff. Look, dude,
I always tell people as a joke, I'm like, I was like through trauma and through the world given like a progressive personality but a conservative mind. So I was neither progressive nor conservative, and I've just kind of viewed the world through a, through an interesting lens. But it's like, you know, I struggle to follow the tenets of the Bible and to be consistent sometimes and often, and I understand that, but God is real regardless, and we need to do our best to love him and show our obedience to him, because even if you make mistakes, there's redemption and love. But it's like, I'm not going to stop speaking the truth to life just because people don't believe in it, and you don't have to believe in it. It's really called free will. It's great. But I do believe this is demonic, personally. If you have another explanation for it, maybe just mental illness, fine. Let's video number two, I want you to listen to this and kind of see the comparisons.
So I'm a member of a DID system, and for me right now, that means that in the coming months, I am going to be able to watch some of my best friends and some of my closest companions get the body of their dreams that matches their gender, that makes them feel happy, and in exchange, I'm going to have to give up my own. I'm cisgender, the majority of my headmates aren't, and we've decided to transition. Which means that as happy as I am for the men in my system, I am about to have to watch myself go through the wrong puberty. And it's going to be permanent. I don't think we talk enough about how DID gets rid of a person's bodily autonomy. You know, I hear people say all the time, the one thing you have control over is your own body and your own reactions. And I don't have that. This isn't my body. These aren't my reactions or my memories. I have like 30 people living in my brain, and everything I do belongs to us as a group. That's what's so hellish about this disorder. My parents fucked me up, and now I will never have full bodily autonomy.
Yeah, that's demonic possession. that is demonic possession. I mean, that's what that is, right? So, I mean, like, you have 30 people living in your brain. That, first of all, you know, because they always look sad. They always have the clown makeup. That's like they're being mocked in their own bodies. They distort their appearance. This is common with satanic ritual. Like, this is what happens.
And you know, this went from being funny, where you and I were laughing at these people, because a lot of them do just make up their own genders. Like, let's be honest, they know that what they're advocating for is ridiculous. And it went from that, it went from us just laughing at the insanity of this, to people who are genuinely mentally ill, because I think this is the second video in a row that we've played on our show. Like, last show, we played another woman who said that she had multiple personalities. This is the second time we've seen someone straight up come forward and be like, I need help mentally, I'm unwell. But because of the LGBTQIA plus community, they normalize this. And it's like, well, now you just have to take hormones and transition, because that's the only way that you can ever feel okay.
Right. And I feel bad for them. And I want to tell you this. I said that we would start including a positive story. This is kind of like a positive one. But I'm going to explain it to you in a second. But first, I got to remind you guys that obviously this girl couldn't control her mind. But there is something that you can control in your life, and that's your credit score. Now, nobody likes the credit system. Nobody likes what we were born into. It's crazy how they trapped us in this. But to do anything in this country, you need one of those. You need a social security number and a credit score, meaning you can literally be homeless even if you have money, just because you don't have a good credit rating. And all of us will probably get our score up a bit, which is why I got to talk to you about ScoreMaster. So ScoreMaster is this amazing system that basically, when you go there, you are able to not only monitor your credit score and to check for identity theft and different things that can keep you in charge of making sure nothing bad happens, but most importantly, ScoreMaster also allows you to raise your score. People within weeks can go up, what, 30, 40, 60 points. It's kind of endless depending on what your current situation is. I was in a bad situation at one point in my life. I had to fix my credit. I'd use a credit repair system, and it really did help, and it was amazing. Not only because monitoring your credit is one of the easiest ways to get your credit score up and to see what's changing, but also just the fact of being able to find ways to add points to your score in minutes, which is easy, and you can sign up in minutes as well and get started in order to change your future, whether you're trying to refinance a home. By just getting your credit score up using scoremaster.com/offense, you can save $100,000 over the life of your car. You can save thousands of dollars on a car loan, or if you don't want to be in loans, maybe even investments, right? You can get better investing loans if you want to check it out, or just renting your house. Maybe you're trying to move into a nice neighborhood and you need a perfect credit score. I don't know, but I know that the credit score is important. And before you apply, visit scoremaster.com/offense. It's scoremaster.com/offense, offense, to add points to your credit score fast. Then you can maintain and protect your credit score with 24/7 credit monitoring and $1 million fraud insurance. It only takes minutes to enroll, see your points, get more points, and qualify for the lowest loan rates. Visit scoremaster.com/offense. That's scoremaster.com/offense to get started today. I encourage you to check it out. So like I said, you know, if you're if you're trying to raise your credit score, or whatever, that we are trying to definitely, you know, make a positive change by giving you some brightness. So a student from the University of Chicago reached out to me, and he told me that the prestigious university is actually going to be starting a booster mandate. This is one of the first of its kind, to where you have to get boosted to be a part of the school. That's a new word we're using, getting boosted. It's like getting pegged, but by the government. It's like some people like it, but not everyone's down for it. And of course, not only being unconstitutional, this student has decided to write a strong and a worded letter to the school and is challenging them in many ways and is starting a petition as well. If you go to my screen, this is even with the website, the ChicagoThinker.com. They come together to outthink the mob and to begin fighting back in the colleges against these illegal mandates. And so I went ahead and invited the student to come onto the show and to talk to us a little bit about how they're fighting back on their university and using the power and the leverage of the media in order to gain momentum and to put pressure on the school. And to introduce the student behind the letter to the University of Chicago, Daniel Schmidt, welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
Thank you for having me, Elijah. Happy to be here.
So obviously you said that the University of Chicago is a world-renowned school. It's one of the top schools. And you've brought up the intellectual stupidity of what they're doing there on the university. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're feeling, what you're going through, actually seeing them oppress the students and put out this sort of medical abuse despite being one of the most renowned and respected universities in the country?
Right. Well, as you said, it's incredibly disappointing. In addition to it just being a top school, it has been known throughout history to be the school that goes against trends and actually sets its own trends. Notably, in the 80s and 70s and 60s, the Chicago School of Economics was established at UChicago as this sort of pro-capitalist, pro-free trade school of thought. So UChicago has always sort of gone against the grail, whereas schools like Harvard, Yale, Princeton were always sort of the establishment schools. UChicago has always been the school for unorthodox and different thought. And to see UChicago now totally just submit to this idiotic and anti-science thought is incredibly disappointing. I know many of us who write for the Chicago Thinker, which is the publication that published this letter, we came to this school because it is different, because it stands against bullying, it stands against oppression, and now we're just left to basically go with what every other school in the country is going with. It's incredibly disappointing, and we think the brand of UChicago itself is harmed because of this booster mandate.
Yeah, so this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, before this interview, obviously, we read a bit through the letter. We discussed it and talked about it. I know it was endorsed by Senator Rand Paul, by Stanford and John Hopkins doctors. And I don't know if you're familiar recently with Twitter making this big deal about 270 doctors, which turned out not to actually be really 270 doctors. It was like bureaucrats and consultants and teachers and whatnot, condemning Joe Rogan for spreading medical misinformation, requiring him to be censored. And so there's a lot of talk about, you know, the importance of endorsements in these things. I mean, when you wrote this letter, do you really have hope with this backing that you can actually accomplish what you're seeking to do? Or is this just sort of publicity or fanfare?
Yeah, well, you know, we're hoping for the best. We actually just started a petition on thechicagothinker.com to sign a letter expressing our disappointment at this booster and mandate. And so we urge any listeners right now who are enraged at the fact that students who are not at a risk, a serious risk of hospitalization or dying of COVID, to sign this letter. But on your point of the fact that that doctors and scientists are supporting our letter and expressing, you know, deep criticism of the vaccine mandate, I'd like to draw you to the fact that at the University of Chicago, the students have to get the booster, but doctors and scientists do not. What does that tell you? It tells you, number one, that there are medical school educated people at the hospital who are opposed to the mandate. These aren't just conspiracy theories. These aren't just people living in their mother's basements. These are people who are legitimately opposed to it, who have knowledge. When I asked the University of Chicago themselves why this exemption is in place, they told me straight up it is because they fear staffing shortages in response to the booster mandate. So my point is that these doctors and scientists publicly, they have no gain in supporting us. In fact, they are harming their careers. Whereas all the doctors and scientists, as you mentioned, who are criticizing Joe Rogan, they're just doing what they're told and they have no harm to their career whatsoever. And so I would say the scientists and doctors who are supporting us have a lot more validity to their claims than the scientists and doctors who are just saying exactly what they have to say to keep their face afloat.
Well, what are they telling you? I mean, a booster mandate? I don't think people even know that's a real thing. It kind of sounds like something out of dystopian novel. I mean, do they give you reasoning of where they came up with this, which studies they used, what foundational research or cutting edge science that they're referencing? Or is this just something from the top down bureaucracy?
Well, that's the point. It's that they have not named any of the experts that tell us what to do. We have asked them, who are these experts? They always cite these anonymous shadowy figures. We don't know any of them. We don't know who they are. We don't know if they're just getting this thought from the CDC. And in fact, as you see right now, we know one of them is Dr. Emily Landon. She's the face of this whole thing. She's one of the few who has come out publicly. And as I wrote in that article, she has advocated for numerous unethical and, quite frankly, anti-science measures. For example, she has said that young children should be vaccinated. She, in fact, called that great. When Pfizer itself has admitted that we don't even know the risks of vaccinating young children because there weren't enough of them in the study. So we have these doctors and scientists who are, you know, using the false guise of science to force us to do stuff that we don't even know what the effects are. And of course, we saw yesterday in Israel, they tested the fourth booster shot and they said that is not good enough. This is never going to end. And unless we put a stop to this now, we're going to be subjected to this for in perpetuity.
So my question to you, though, if you don't get the booster, what happens to you?
Yeah, so we actually just published a great article today by a student, a very brave student, who wrote about his experience of not being vaccinated. He was spied on by the university. He requested a medical exemption initially, and that was later revoked. And when he asked the university, what can I do about it? They basically said, you're screwed, and you know there's nothing you can do about it. You can request a religious and medical exemption, but of course, those are all subject to the purview of the university. So unless you're lucky to have an exemption approved, you're forced to get it against your will.
So best case scenario, you know, writing this letter, I mean, I'm shocked to find there's still students out there that hold to any sort of logic or reason. I mean, universities, for the most part, have become such bastions of idiocracy and foolishness on every front. I mean, it has infiltrated every single institution in this country. Even the Christian and private schools have gotten pretty insane. But, you know, students like yourself, for people that don't have any hope in colleges, they don't have any hope in our education system. Do you feel like your opinion against the booster and your desire to fight against this like pseudo intellectualism, is this common at the university or are you in the minority?
We are certainly at the minority, but we think that there is a changing tide. As we see more and more, we saw Fauci is now distinguishing the hospitalizations due to COVID and with COVID. We really feel like because of how far the establishment, how far the elites have gone, students are going to wake up. That is our hope, at least. And, you know, even on posting on Instagram, I'm not followed by many conservatives. I go to a very liberal school. I've had more and more students reply to me saying they agree with me, but they're too afraid to speak up. So I am urging any college students listening right now, you need to speak up. I guarantee there are more students who agree with you than you think, and you cannot be bullied and, you know, fear cannot be used to talk you out of this. This is a very serious thing. Booster mandates are basically evil. We have to acknowledge that. And if we just, you know, stand aside and do nothing about it, as I said, this will go on forever because they keep admitting booster shots are ineffective. Why wouldn't they stop doing it? They get a lot of money out of it. They can virtue signal. Why wouldn't they stop doing it?
No, and we do wish you the best. And obviously, I know that if people want to support you, if people want to back this up, I know this is where the fights are in the colleges. What are the best places that people can find you, can support the movement, can support the publication, and join in the fight because they feel helpless and they want to know what they can do. People are getting fired. People are, you know, losing everything in this fight against these unconstitutional, I say inhumane mandates that have swept the country. So where is it that people can show you their support or can help in the fight?
Right. So as I said, my publication is thechicagothinker.com. We are going crazy. We're going to be on Tucker Carlson tonight. And so really, I would just ask all of your listeners to come and support us. We're really, I think, leading a sort of watershed moment. We received immense praise for our booster letter. We're at nearly 90,000 views. As you said, we've been endorsed by Rand Paul, by leading doctors and scientists. And so we would really ask you to show support at thechicagothinker.com. Additionally, if you would like to just follow me, I'm on Twitter at DanielWSchmidt_. You can find me there too. But please go to thechicagothinker.com. We have a petition up. It's just been up for a few hours and we've already received nearly 100 signatures. Please show your support. This is an important moment and we hope that our example can spread to other top tier institutions in this country.
Awesome. I really, really appreciate you coming on so much. Daniel Schmidt from the University of Chicago. We do wish you the best. We'd love to continue to hear updates here as well in this fight. And as you guys fight against some of the most, I guess, initial steps in this fast-tracked movement towards fascism, medical fascism, that is. I know that the fight can be bitter, that the people in power can be very evil, and we all salute you and appreciate the hard work that you're doing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Elijah.
What an incredible interview. We're so happy to see that. I want to keep giving you guys good things to know. Anyway, if you made it this far on the podcast, don't forget that you got to leave a 5-star review because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And it helps us out so much. I was going to talk about white women. We'll get to that next episode because I'm going to get into that with John. Everyone knows John Doyle. I think we're trying to get him on the show. Hopefully he's able to make it. We'll see. If not, we'll get somebody great for you guys as well. But I want to get into some crazy stuff. We also have Andrew Torba on the show too next time. So we're excited. But go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can get your podcast, leave that 5-star review and you might get it read on the show. I'd like to read a review from Bubba Fett 23. That show's not that good. I watched it on Disney at my friend's house. Not that good of a show. My 90-year-old grandma has more energy than old Joe. I originally listened to this podcast for the 2020 riots. Now I tune in for my bi-weekly dose of cancer from TikTok. 10 out of 10 podcast. Love what y'all do. Not a simp for Sav. You, because I simp for no woman. What up, G? Keep it real. However, she is a 10 out of 10. Oh, here we go. I agree.
Like this podcast.
And I ain't no homo, but Elijah, you are 10 out of 10 like this podcast,
hey,
as well.
Wow.
I mean, that's nice. That's nice to know. 5 stars out of 10 out of 10. Like I said, our egos are inflating. We're just getting so popular.
Wow.
We're from a broom closet to a spaceship. Daria731 said, guilty pleasure. I love the contrast between your sense of humor and when you get serious. Very insightful moments mixed with a lot of things I feel guilty for laughing at. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, this is a very confusing show.
He's just bipolar, guys.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Mental illness. I have 50 of me inside of me. Also, don't forget, if you're an official SOB and you want to support the show, this TV, just we can't figure out good. If you guys, hey, email me if you know why this TV goes up in brightness. It's a 4K OLED TV from LG, and it's a smart TV, and apparently it's too smart for me and Sav to figure out, because we can't figure out why it dims in the middle of the show and then gets bright again. What the hell is going on? But if you don't have that answer and you want to be official SOB sponsor the show, go to blazetv.com/Elijah, get $10 off the promo code Elijah, and support the show. It directly funds the show, and a lot of you guys have supported, and that's why we've been able to stay on the air even we've been canceled and lost our advertisers. Don't forget to follow us on our Telegram, t.me/slightlyoffensive. Also, you can follow me in the links below. Everywhere you can find social media, you can find Sav's podcast, Rapid Fire, as well as her YouTube, Sav Says. Show her some support on her live streams, and do whatever you can to subscribe. Anyway, for Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, my name's Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 to 19 or 21 host. I don't even know what I'm anymore. I think my other show pushed this show out of even further. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.